regarding the road quarries, and the intervention states that INAC recommends that AEM submit their plan for mitigation measures to the board by the fall of 2008, and that's again for the road quarries. I just like to maybe ask INAC to clarify what specifically they're looking to have mitigated. It's my understanding that that the roads are already built, and I assume the quarries are already excavated, and there's an A&R plan for most of the quarries.
Thank you. INAC.
It's Jim Rogers with INAC. A number of the quarries that were used in the construction of the road, both on Crown and on IOL land, did not have adequate geochemistry provided to the board and the interveners at the time of construction. I believe Agnico Eagle agreed that they would provide the geochemistry of the remaining quarries and provide a mitigation plan for the quarries based on runoff, drainage, and if geochemistry indicates that there may be generation of acid or metal leaching, how they would mitigate the impacts of that. So that's basically what our intervention meant. We'd like that information provided to the board so the interveners could look at it, and the board should have some input. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve, further?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've just been asked to maybe get a little more clarification on the recommendation for the independent panel. I just want to be clear that is INAC in agreement that the expert panel be specifically for the dikes, or should that panel address other geotechnical issues and structures or earthworks at the site? I guess what I'm getting at here, there's other sections of the INAC intervention that recommend that an annual geotechnical inspection be carried out, and I guess it's my understanding that that's also common in other licenses issued by the board. So is that something that would be undertaken by one person, or is INAC recommending that those specific inspections also be undertaken by an expert panel? Thank you.
Thank you. Ina?
Jim Rogers, Mr. Chair. The expert panel was brought up at the NIRB hearings, and both Cumberland at that time, Agnico Eagle now, and I believe most of the interveners thought it was an excellent idea, since some of this engineering work is not common. It's fairly groundbreaking in some aspects. The expert panel would be used for the dikes. The geotechnical reviews would be also used for the dikes, because failure of the dikes is more than just an issue for the company. It's actually a fairly large issue. So the independent panel would look at that. There is other areas that the independent panel could look at. You know, the pit walls, for example, would be to have someone outside at arm's length come in and review would be probably a good idea from our point of view. And the results of that, more or less a confirmation that the independent committee or group or reviewer believes that the company is doing the right thing, would be provided to the board, and they would have confidence in not only the design but the operation that is being carried out by the mining company.
Just to offer a supplementary, Mr. Chair, it's Michael Nadler. What we're recommending is that there be third-party qualification of geochemistry that could be by one panel or multiple panels, and that would we would not presume to impose on the board geotechnical observations. We would not presume to impose on the board a panel model there, but we would strongly recommend third-party validation.
Thank you. Any more questions from staff? Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have about three more questions. The next one is, again, going back to the INAC intervention on page 6, and there's a recommendation that non-contact water should be tested twice per open water season at proposed compliance monitoring points. And I guess my question is that something that INAC is looking to have included as a regulated criteria of some sort in the license?
Go ahead.
Chair, it's Michael Nather. Yes.
So, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, my next question is going back to INAC intervention on page 7. And INAC recommends that the AEMP, the Aquatic Effects Monitoring Program, be submitted for review and approval prior to the commencement of site work. And I just wanted to clarify, is that site work meaning construction activities or operation? Thank you.
Thank you. INAC?
Mr. Chairman, Jim Rogers, could I defer that for a second or two, if you would mind? Give you a clearer answer.
Okay, go ahead. Jim Rogers, go ahead.
This is Jim Rogers and INAC. Sometimes we have to confer with the rest of the federal family on these issues. The Aquatics Effect Monitoring Plan is normally part of Environment Canada's role, and we assist them. Environment Canada has agreed with the 09 date, which is after construction, before actual mining begins. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one last question. And it's just regarding the difference in the security estimates, and as I anticipated hearing a little bit more about it in the presentation, and especially the discrepancy in the differences between the cover and how those estimates came to be. And I would ask that if INAC could provide a little more detail here on their opinion of that aspect specifically of the closure estimate. Thank you.
Thank you. INAC?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Stephen, for your question. It's Michael Nadler. The proponent today presented the use of a 2.5-meter cover, and that was the cover used in a security estimate calculation or estimated cost for reclamation. The purpose, as many of the people around the table understand, the purpose of this cover is to ensure that annual thawing does not reach potentially acid-generating rock. The department reviewed in great detail the modeling information provided by the proponent, and site data shows a 2.15-meter thawing. And also, the modeling information used was based on rock rather than highly vegetated soil, which has a higher specific gravity. The other thing to keep in mind is that while we have referred in our work, and while the proponent's presentation referred to Akati and observed that the Akati area is warmer than the Baker Lake area, it is nonetheless an important source of information on this aspect of potential reclamation. In our own review of that information and of the Akati experience, we too recognize that it's a warmer location than Baker Lake, and that led us to consider a slightly lower fill level. So while at Akati, The depth of the active layer, the active permafrost layer, is 5 meters.